Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, I've been working on a new song. Can I sing a bit of it for you and get your opinion?
Yeah, of course, Patrick.
Manhattan, I love you, but you're bringing me down. What do you think?
Not bad, but can you make it a little broader?
Hey, Patrick, it's day two of Classic Cocktail Week.
Yes.
What we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We're going to have five different cocktails this week. We started yesterday with a martini.
Right.
Today's a Manhattan. And we're picking songs that go along with those, right? And we're over at Mike Snyder's house.
Yes.
Hello,
love
Mike.
It over here.
Hey, glad to have you guys here. We've survived round one, so we're back the next day and ready to try new drinks.
Yep. And we also have Bud Burge.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
And this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we get to the cocktails, I think we should mention one thing here. We have Suburbs Fest coming up.
Oh, that's right.
We should promote that. Mm-hmm. So October 1st and 2nd, that's a Friday and Saturday, in the Washington, D.C. area. We want you all to come out. This is our first ever Suburbs Fest, and it's going to be a really good time. And the first night, on Friday, we're going to have a gathering at, I always get this wrong.
Settle Down Easy.
Thank you.
It's Settle Down Easy Brewery in Falls Church, Virginia. And everybody can meet up there, and we'll have some beers and hang out. And they're also going to set up a little PA for us. And so if people want to bring an instrument, sing a song, you can. Or you can just hang out with us. You can do whatever you want.
Either way.
So there'll be that. And then also on Saturday at the American Legion Hall in Silver Spring, Maryland, we're going to have Wingtip Slope playing.
Yes, we will.
And Dot Dash and Apollo 66 and maybe a special guest.
Yeah, maybe a special guest.
But anyway, if you just get those three.
That's pretty good.
Exactly.
No, there's no cover charge. You can just come in, see the bands play.
No cover charge either night.
It's going to be going to be a good time. So we want to see you in the DC area October 1st and 2nd for Suburbs Fest. And there will be some details at suburbspod.com.
Yeah, we're going to put a page together with details for travelers and all that kind of stuff. But make your plans now, folks.
Yep.
Clear that weekend.
Yep. Okay.
First weekend of Rocktober.
Now. It is. That's right. Yeah. Perfect.
Good kickoff.
Perfect. That's right. This is the way to kick off for October.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, before we mix up this next cocktail, I just want to ask you guys real quick, Mike and Bud in particular, are you big cocktail guys? I know, Mike, you're a big craft beer guy. You're our expert on that, and we turn to you for advice in the beer scene. But how are you know, with like the cocktails and spirits and that kind
of
stuff?
Well, I'm kind of a guy that you put a drink in front of me and I'll drink it.
Okay.
However, I do make, I consider myself a very good maker of margaritas.
Good.
Wife drinks Moscow Mules, so I know how to make those.
Okay.
She used to drink vodka tonics, which are not hard. This is kind of a weird story. My mom and dad are probably going to hate this, but I made drinks for my mom and dad when I was a teenager.
Wow.
They wanted 7 and 7, Seagram 7 and 7 Up, and they would be watching TV, and I'd make the drinks for them. And, of course, I'd taste them to make sure I didn't get them too strong or not strong enough. So I've been a bit of an amateur cocktail guy myself. But when I'm home, usually just a beer, or I might drink scotch. Or as Jim has kind of converted me to having straight whiskey. But when we have parties, I do like to make drinks.
All right. Bud?
I've been a beer guy for years, but over the last couple of years, I've gone to more of the scotch, whiskey, bourbon, kind of just, you know, something lighter, something, not the volume. I mean, now that I'm of a certain age, you know, you drink a lot of beer, you end up renting it for a while. But now with with the whiskey and the bourbon, you can get to the same place with a lot less volume.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot less trips.
So you'll just have like a straight whiskey on the rocks kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do a lot.
I have one, but I just keep adding to it all night long.
Yeah,
so
right.
When Terry asks, how many did you have? I say, I had one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one?
I just nursed it all night long and just added more into it and more ice in the same cup.
Well, this is perfect segue in here, because today we're going to focus on the Manhattan, which is just really just a little variation on having straight bourbon. You know, there's only like one other ingredient in this, basically. So let's go mix them up in the kitchen.
We're going to do the Manhattan today. Manhattan is similar to a martini in that it's a spirit and a vermouth. But instead of gin, it's bourbon.
Ooh.
And instead of dry vermouth, it's sweet vermouth. But other than that, pretty much the same idea.
Okay.
This one has a little more vermouth ratio in it than what we just had.
Okay.
So I'm making a double here. Or enough for all of us, I should say. It's more than a double. I'm going to go 6 ounces.
Now, is there a particular bourbon you favor for a Manhattan? No? Just anything?
Not really. Now, I will tell you, with cocktails, you don't necessarily have to buy the most expensive stuff.
Okay.
Because you're mixing it with something anyway. And flavor.
Yeah.
So we're going to go 6 ounces of bourbon and 2 ounces of sweet vermouth.
Sweet vermouth. And is that chill?
It is.
It is. Okay.
It doesn't have to be, but it has to be refrigerated after it's open. So.
Okay.
We're going to have them on ice. On the rocks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that gin in there.
Just gonna mix that up. Taste. Top it off. Maraschino cherry.
Maraschino cherry. Can anyone here tie the stem in a knot with your tongue? If you can, I don't want to know about it.
And that's your classic Manhattan.
Lovely. Beautiful.
Beauteous.
All right, so now we got the Manhattans. And taste these, everyone.
Mm. Exactly.
Yummy.
Mm. So see how you get a little more of that sweetness, right?
Yes. Than
you would with just straight bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can make this with a bourbon or a rye. Either way is fine. The bourbon will be a little bit sweeter than the rye, just by definition, right?
Yeah.
Because bourbon is made with a corn mash. Usually it's a corn mash with some rye, whereas a rye is just purely rye mash whiskey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will make a Manhattan with rye because you're adding the sweet vermouth to make it sweet anyway. With bourbon, so it's a little extra sweet. I mean, who doesn't like sweet?
So, and the theory might be if you don't drink a lot of liquor, rye is a little harsher than a bourbon, I guess.
It is a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Bourbon's a little bit sweeter.
Gotcha.
Yep. So there you go. Very classic cocktail, the Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Been around
mm-hmm.
forever. You also get that maraschino cherry in there too, which, if people like that, it also just adds a little color.
A little sweetness.
Right?
Yeah.
It makes it feel like somebody did something, went to a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Put a cherry on top.
Yeah, that's right.
Put a bird on it.
Okay, so we're all picking songs that go with the cocktail. So, Patrick, you volunteered to kick us off today.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I went pretty literal, thinking about Manhattan, thinking about New York, thinking about being the kind of guy who might be able to afford to go to a nice place like the Carlyle Hotel, in Manhattan and hear somebody famous. And I think probably the most famous guy to play there is Bobby Short. I mean, he played there for years and years and years. And when you think of Bobby Short, at least to me, one of my favorite albums by Bobby Short is the album he did called Bobby Short Loves Cole Porter. And here's a song called Pilot Me that just seems to me like a bit of elegance and a bit of Manhattan and a bit of old New York and skyscrapers and nighttime. And,
nice.
This is what I went with.
Amène moi chérie, oh dans les cieux, dans l'air vir infini, allons tous deux, ce bel avion. Fait pour nous vivrons grâce à lui nos rêves fous. Pilote-moi, pilote-moi, avec toi j'irai. Je crois vers le ciel sans nul émoi. Pilote-moi dans cet avion à travers l'espace. Pilote-moi, 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 faisons avec passion de l'avion.
and you, a cozy narrow plane just built for two. I'll let you drive it, dear, and when you do, up where it's private, dear, we'll be damned cool.
Okay, I find this so interesting that for a lot of these classic cocktails, we're going sort of a jazz or older styles of music sort of route, right?
Totally, yeah.
Because we think of these as just being around forever, and it evokes sort of a that sort of mood, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say for me, my liquor drinking experience is often ran to like frozen Bacardi or frozen gin, right, that you might chase like, after something else.
The kind of stuff they made in Cocktail. That's with right. Tom Cruise movie, like that kind of stuff.
Throwing up the bottles.
Yeah, right.
Flair.
When he pours, he rains.
Yeah.
I think of something more elegant and old, more established and more old time.
There's a certain elegance to this drink.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Bobby Short is one of the foremost interpreters of the American Songbook, even better than Rod Stewart. And I once got to see Bobby Short play at the Library of Congress. I'll never forget that. And he talked a little bit about the history of these songs. What he knew about them was really amazing. And that was an unforgettable experience. And I believe there's a Woody Allen movie, too, where they go to the Carlisle and Bobby Short's kind of playing behind the piano. So just all that kind of thing.
Well, and you mentioned the classic, just the glass that these drinks are served in. Mm-hmm. Evokes a classicness. It's not like a red solo cup or anything else. It's just a classic, clean, old-fashioned glass or whatever it might be called. So,
It's funny you mention that, Mike, because I remember at Christmas and Thanksgiving times when all my extended family on my side would get together, my Uncle Don and my other uncles would get together. My Uncle Don, they would always host, and he would always say to the men when they came in, "Ready for a short one?" That's always because it was in that short class.
Right. So. All right. Who wants to go next?
I can go.
All right.
So I'm not going classic, but I have a little bit of a tale for this story, or for a little story for this song. So when I moved to D.C. in 1990, soon after that, in the next 12 months or so, one of the first big parties I went to was a Manhattan party. Mm. I'd never had a Manhattan, and that's all we had at that party. Mm. You didn't have beer. You didn't have nothing else. I mean, I guess you could dunk shots of whiskey, but I didn't get that bad. So that was my first. That was my entree to the Manhattan. And about that time, a tribute album to Leonard Cohen came out, and REM had a song, had a cover of First We Take Manhattan. And so that kind of jived with all the things I'm thinking about Manhattan. So.
Sentence me to 20 years for trying to change the system.
Great tune.
Yeah, great song. Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
My entryway to Leonard Cohen.
Oh, is it really?
Is that right?
Oh, through REM. Probably me too. Oh, wow. I think, yeah.
That's really interesting. Remember, there's a version of this song by Jennifer Warnes, I believe is her name. She, I think, was famous for An Officer and a Gentleman, but I remember there was a famous Blue Raincoat album she did where Cohen co-wrote all the songs, and she recorded a good version
of
this.
I had
no idea. Me either.
It was something we listened to in record stores because it was on sale or, on the rotation. So,
yep. Okay. All right, Bud, what is your Manhattan song pick?
Well, my pick brought me back to the late 50s, early 60s New York City and jazz clubs. And at the time, a new type of jazz had just come out called hard bop, which was a little bit different than some of the more swingier jazz, or a little bit more edgier. The players were a little bit more aggressive. And there was a new label that just started putting out LPs called Blue Note Records. And one of the first LPs they put out, they did 10 inches and like 78s for a while, but about 1959, early 59, early 60, they started putting out LPs. And one of the first ones they put out was Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. So I chose Moanin', which is a classic hard bop song from Art Blakey.
That is an excellent pick.
Oh, that is a fantastic pick.
That puts me right in the era of the mood.
Absolutely.
For this drink.
Man, that is perfect. Really
just
good
recently reissued on Blue Note as part of their like 75th or 80th anniversary.
Beautiful.
So there's a whole bunch of new reissues of classic albums coming out on Blue Note label right now.
Fantastic.
So head down to your local record store and find one.
Absolutely, man. And anything you see recorded by the Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers pre, like, I don't know, 63, 64, when they took that break, is fantastic stuff.
And it's interesting you picked Art Blakey, because actually my entree to jazz was Wynton Marsalis, who had some time there, obviously after this. But Wynton, and then his ties to, like, Marcus Roberts helped me learn about older, you know, like the Thelonious Monk, and reasons to go back and hear. You hear them do a rendition, then you go back and hear the real thing. So
yeah,
great pick.
Yeah, definite. You can win influence here for sure. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Great call. Okay, I'm going to go a totally different route. I mean, I'm closer to Mike here on this one. So as I mentioned, sort of like with a lot of these classic cocktails, we think of sort of earlier eras of music. We think of, you know, jazz or standards or traditional music, things like that. I'm really focused on Manhattan with my pick here. And I was thinking about the fact that, and Patrick will probably correct me on this, being the music historian that he is, but I don't know that a lot of rock bands formed or came from Manhattan specifically, right? Like, New York is the place you go to from someplace else, right?
Right.
Or even within New York City, they tend to form in other boroughs, right? So you think of the Ramones, right, from Long Island, right? Or Run DMC's from Queens, right? Or things like that. Or there's a whole scene in the Bronx. Brooklyn, obviously, the total indie rock scene.
Absolutely.
All of that, right? But Manhattan is business. Manhattan is, you know, media and finance and all of that stuff, right? And I don't know if there's a lot of rock and roll created there, but I thought of this band that did form in Manhattan, all right?
Try to take control.
right, there you go. Hard to explain by the Strokes.
Really cool pick, Jim. And you're exactly right. I mean, you think about Manhattan or you think about New York City, right? And Manhattan, you're right, is business or you know, Midtown, right? Where all the stuff gets done. But and even though the Velvets formed in, you know, the factory in Midtown Manhattan, you know, Lou is from Long Island with Sterling, right. And Mo Tucker was from Queens, and John Cale was obviously from Wales. So, yeah, it's so interesting to actually have a band that germinates there. Yeah,
right. In this case, these guys like met in high school, I think.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, they were all in high school, public high school in
prep
in New York,
or something.
Prep school. Yeah, exactly. Whatever it was.
But,
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Manhattan as a borough is. You don't think of it as a place where rock bands would form because you need to have like a garage, you need a practice space, you need a neighborhood,
right.
You need kids, you know, that you hang out with, whatever. And Manhattan, yes, feels like it's all business, right?
There's not a lot of empty space in Manhattan.
Right.
But that's great. And if someone's listening and they've given up on the Strokes, they should not. They should go back and listen to the 2020 album. It's very good.
Very good.
I think the first two are great. And I think that debut album is damn close to a perfect album.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Right? Still holds up 20 years later.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Cool pick.
Okay. Tomorrow, we're going to do another bourbon drink. All right. We're going to do the old fashioned.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Very delicious. Okay. So let's move on to that.
Do it.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Leno.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Schneider.
I'm Bud Verge.
All right, we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Peppermint schnapps and put it in my cocoa when I was on the sideline of football games.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Warm you up. Yeah,
I wasn't playing. Right. I was watching.
Snyder, get in there.
I can't. Wait, I'm not done with my
third string quarterback. Yeah, emergency quarterback.